Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. I want to give a shout out to a couple of our good friends. Suizo Concrete Construction is a proud partner with TMCO, a longstanding Lincoln, Nebraska manufacturing company, for the upcoming holiday diaper drive taking place December 19th. TMCO has been a staple in the community for decades, known for its commitment to innovation, quality fabrication, and support of local families. Together, we're excited to support an initiative that directly benefits those in need across our community. The Holiday Diaper Drive will collect diapers, pull-ups, and wipes of any size to support three family-centered nonprofit organizations, TMCO Prep Academy, the Nebraska Diaper Bank, and Forward. All right, community members are encouraged to drop off donations to any of the following locations, from White Elm Broomery to Pine Lake Self Storage, 93.7 The Ticket. That address is 1040 O Street, Suite 100, or Suizo Construction itself, 3700 South Street, Suite A, good old Lincoln, Nebraska. Also, shout out to our good friends at Hamilton Telecommunications, bringing you the latest in quality technology and communication services since 1901. Learn about their residential and business services at HamiltonTel.com. Now, the question you posed to me, Jake, before the break, was it rebuilding year? Is that how you phrase year four rebuilding year? Is that what you said?
That's what I said. I say that because you got a new defensive line coach, obviously. We'll see that here in a second. But, you know, new defense coordinator, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback, new running back who was, you know, your running back was 80% of your rushing yards or whatever it was. I mean, there's a lot of rebuilding going on if it's not a rebuilding year.
There isn't like breaking news that we hired a D-line coach. That was like a...
No.
Okay, just making sure. Because that would be big news. All right. I'm going to say something I don't think people want to hear. I think year four may very well be a rebuilding year. It's not what I want. It's not what it should be, frankly. It's frankly not what it should be. All this year three jump talk that I said, please stop, the entire offseason. Didn't stop, but here we are. It doesn't have to be. Look how quickly some of these programs turn around. Look how quickly from season to season things change sometimes in college football. And sometimes it's like every year you'll see a team that the year before was like, who the heck is this? Oh, all of a sudden Vanderbilt's good. What? All of a sudden this team looks better. All of a sudden Indiana? What? Like, do you know if Indiana played Alabama right now, they'd be a 7.5-point favorite? Mm-hmm. Let's just let those logos marinate in your mind and which team would be favored. So things can change a lot. Things can change swiftly. We have money to do things in the portal. We did not bring in a lot of high school kids. We are the youngest team in the Big Ten. Retain the young talent. Bring in portal guys who can make immediate impact. Evaluate correctly and develop properly. I yelled because it's supposed to be more emphasis on those things. And you never know what can happen. Now, do I think it's a decent chance that this is a rebuilding year? Yes, I do. I'm wide open to the prospect of having a really good season next year. I also understand that it might be a rebuilding year. Let's just be real. The powers that be went all in on the Raiolas. It did not pay off the way we wanted, and it left us in not as great a state as we would have hoped either. And as a result, I'm being asked by my co-host if it's a rebuilding year. The choice to do that did not work out well. I would venture a guess, it's fair to say it was not worth the monetary value. It was not worth struggling up front, and it was not worth passing on a really good quarterback prospect in Omaha. Now, looking forward, we are where we are. When Matt Rhule signed the extension, the big word I used was stability. Because we can't keep hiring and firing a million head coaches. Apparently we can with coordinators and assistants, but I legit like Jeep Wade. There is a prospective name out there for the D-line coach. We're sitting here waiting. Just so you know, he was never technically fired from Syracuse, just demoted. So maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe there's other factors. But if it's the guy a lot of people have been talking about, he's thought of to be the number one D-line coach in the country. There are some upgrades that have been made, and I almost feel like Matt Rhule is now doing what he feels is best. And I don't want to say it's ground zero, but it's almost like, to Jake's point and Jake's question, this may be the rebuilding year in year four that we don't want to deal with, but it might be better than Let's scratch it all and start all over, starting from the top down, because I don't think that's a good idea. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah, I think so.
Looking at next year's schedule, if we're sitting here at 7-5 next year, nobody's going to be happy with that. But I'm going to look around and I'm going to say next year's schedule is probably tougher than this year and last year's combined. And I'm not going to celebrate. I'm not going to jump for joy. But I'm going to look around and I'm going to say 7-5 in year two did not excite me as we sit here, right now. But if it's a true rebuilding year, which is a very real possibility, 7-5 with next year's schedule isn't going to have me jumping for joy, but it's going to be like, all right, now let's see what Matt Rhule can do. Much later into the tenure than we ever would have liked. Let's play the clip from Dannon. He says a few things in there that are interesting. He also says something in there, just a brief sentence, alluding to it might be a little bit different at Nebraska in the Big Ten than it was at Temple or Baylor. That's not taking shots at the AAC or the Big 12 or Baylor or Temple. It just is what it is. Go ahead and roll it. There's other things in this clip as well, but go ahead, Jake.
All right, yeah, this is Billy Schimmert of KET Channel 7 with Troy Dannon.
What game did he have your full support in those? Talking about Coach Rhule, he did make some quick decisions after that Iowa game. Did he have your full support in those decisions?
Oh, yeah. And you know, the last 2 weeks, I've heard our coaches call it embarrassing. You know, those are things that should never happen defensively. And there are a lot of reasons for it. But you know, sitting on the inside, but yet on the outside, I'm not in the position rooms or anything else. Something was amiss and needed to be changed. And, you know, he – credit to him that he was willing to make
the Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Those changes, I think, just as important as the willingness to make the changes and was his ability to go out and find people outside of his circle of relationships that now that he's been here 3 years, knowing exactly what we need to have, what's lacking in the Big Ten, what do we need to do versus maybe what he did at Baylor or Temple or even at Carolina.
From your chair, what do you think went wrong at the end of the season?
College football is not just a scheme game. You know, we don't have professionals, and you know, because we're paying players, that doesn't make them professionals. They're still college students. They're learning, they motivate differently, but you have to tailor a scheme to your players and not demand that the players fit into a scheme sometimes that maybe doesn't fit them. And there's a relational aspect. You know, you're not always going to love your coach. But you got to respect your coach and you got to have coaches that, you know, the players are going to fight for and run through a wall for because they care about the relationship. I care a lot about how the players are treated. You know, it's rough sometimes in a locker room, but it can't be personal. And so you see a lot of things that said, we're not really there. How do we use the players we have? You know, we had two great interior linemen last year. Seniors have been around a long time. We had a young interior line. How do we adjust the scheme to the player? And I think that was part of it. You know, I hate to use the word quit, but, you know, we didn't play defensively with the intensity level that we had. But, you know, you don't always blame that on the player either.
A lot of what I heard right there was you could sum up a lot of that in people. It's about people. It's about the people coaching. It's about the people playing. It's about the people evaluating the people you do or don't bring in. It's about the people developing the people that you do decide to bring in, how well those people ultimately end up playing on the field. To me, it all comes back to people. X's and O's matter. If you flat out have a schematic advantage over somebody else, that's a huge thing. But if you're play, he said, I don't want to use the word quit. And Matt Rhule talked to in multiple press conferences, like they were not out there playing at their best mentally. They were not out there playing at their best physically. Troy Dannon even said some of them have called it embarrassing. It comes back to people. If you have an exponential people advantage in business, people, process, product. I know this isn't a business show, but people are first. People, process, product. My degree is in business. I do a lot of things in business. People, process, product. In sports, it's about people first. Then you have the facilities. The people who fill the stands for, what is it, 405 straight home games over 6 decades now, I think, since the 60s, 62, I think it started. The home sellout streak, it's about the people and getting that right. Now, he said it in different ways, and there was other things he talked about, but that was my biggest takeaway. We got to go to break. You got any thoughts on that real quick as well, Jake?
Man, well, I was kind of surprised by the John Butler news, and you think initially he fell on, you know, I think at times it feels like he fell on the sword there. But again, I think it got to the point of motivationally, was he there? And then I always go back to that talk about not taking Minnesota seriously from whichever assistant was in the room. And then after the game, of course, Coach Rhule also said Butler coached a vanilla defense. And so, you know, I kind of go back to that and think, okay, and again, it always has to go back to the head coach. Did the head coach throw off the confidence level of the defensive coordinator and then that have a kind of a snowball effect toward the end of the season? Could have been. And maybe, again, it's just interesting to hear like Dannon say that. We saw that from a mile away. Everybody said, yeah, you're not going to do much. You know, you're not going to have the same interior lineman, but you asked Butler to run the 3-3-5 with the same, you know. So again, I don't know where the ultimate fault goes. I know John Butler better cover his ears because he's definitely falling on the sword or getting a lot of the blame. But man, it's I'm not sure if it was all a one man problem. Maybe it was. I could be wrong.
That Minnesota game bothers me like no other. This is me giving grace. All right. Penn State, it was TJ's first big-time road game. UCLA is not a big-time road game, not the atmosphere. I called it Lincoln West, if you remember afterwards. Okay, and then Iowa, we were 17-16, Fori Torrey's hamstring. Like, I'm trying to give grace here. Those games were not good. I'm like, all right, let's find the positive. I can find zero positive in Minnesota. Zero positive in assistant coaches who weren't ready to coach. Zero positive when it's 7-6 at halftime and the coach says the players are hanging their heads and they're wondering why it's not easier and they basically quit. Like, I find zero positives in that. And to your point, that game bothers me like no other because it was purely a mental game. That is set from the person at the top. And again, we need Matt Rhule to work out. I do think he's done a lot of good things. I do, in his career as a whole, I do think he's a good coach. I'm curious to see what he can do going forward. It needs to work with Matt Rhule. I am glad we have stability and he's the guy that's providing stability at the moment. But going forward, it's time to see what Matt Rhule can do. And it starts with the person at the top, because why did those players expect it to be easy? Where's that attitude come from? Why were the coaches not in the right mindset? Why at halftime did they not come out fighting in the second half like Minnesota did? That game was won and lost in the offseason. That game was won and lost in winter conditioning, in spring ball, in summer conditioning. That game was won and lost in meetings. That game was won and lost way before they ever took one step out on that field. The attitude and the thoughts and the culture that permeate throughout a football facility are set from the folks at the top. Who's held accountable? Who gets to play victim? Who's willing to push through and who gets their hand held when it gets hard? And when does that start? It starts first thing every morning. It starts January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, all the way through. Every morning. There needs to be a different approach to building mental toughness starting from the top down. Let's go to break.